Okay, cool. Brilliant. Let's pipe down a little bit. Good. Well done. As we go along today, you may see why I've started to get you to talk to the people next to you. But what I wanted to talk to you today was about our hearts. And I wanted to take some time out just to give us a once over on our hearts and just a bit of a checkup on our hearts. As I was drumming, I hope they don't mind me mentioning this, but Hailey, you don't know me. I know your name, and I've been meaning to catch you for the last few weeks, but I noticed as you were worshipping, you had your hand on your heart. And I just want to say, don't ever let anybody crush your heart, okay? You've got a really good heart. Make sure you use it. Good. It's your birthday today. Well, I would sing happy birthday, but I really can't sing. But happy birthday, and I hope you have a good one. 18. It's a big one. No going back now. So you may be kind of wondering why I'm suggesting that we talk about our hearts today. And as I was praying and preparing this week, I really felt a sense of unrest in my actual own heart. And I think in the last 4 months, I would say, has been a real battle for me with my heart. And as I was spending time with God, there were certain scriptures that came to mind. I was also in a leaders conference on Thursday, and they started to talk about some of the scriptures that I was looking at and my heart. I wonder if this scripture is for all of us today. So we're going to just dive into it. It's in Proverbs chapter 4, and it starts at verse 20. And we're going to have a look at this today. It says, my son, we'll put in there and daughter as well. How about that one? Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Let's just take a little bit of a moment to think about this. Whatever has entered your heart will dictate what you're going to do and what you're going to say. The things you are passionate about are the things that you're going to want to do. Chris, as I'm looking at you, you're passionate about your guitaring. It shows on the stage. You're a brilliant musician. Thank you for your heart. Now, for us to fully understand this scripture, we probably need to look at the context of the scripture itself. Okay, and if you ever read your Bible, you're new to reading your Bible, you open your Bible, and there's something you don't understand, it's really good to look at the context of where it comes from. So we're going to go back further into the start of the scripture to start to have a look at this. If you still don't understand it, go to the beginning of the book. If you still don't understand it, speak to Pastor Robin. He goes back before the beginning of time. Oh, not quite there. Proverbs was written by a guy called King Solomon. Anything we know about King Solomon? He was what? He was David's son. Anything else? He was very wise. God gave him wisdom, but we're going to learn something really interesting about this. When Solomon gave this scripture, he gave it to his sons. Okay, and we read this at the beginning of Proverbs chapter 4, and he reflects on a time where his father told him the same words. Okay, and in verse 1 it says this, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction." Now, Solomon gives a lot of wise advice throughout. But this is the scriptures that are really important. It says, "Listen, my son, to a father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning so you do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father David, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Again, we have this mention of the heart. And I'm gonna give you some homework, okay, to carry on reading through that verse in Proverbs. But he talks about wisdom. He talks about the importance of wisdom. He talks about how we need to make wise and right decisions, even when it is difficult. But he says, towards the end of that scripture, I'm going to say it again, he comes to this and he says, but above all else, guard your heart, for everything comes from it. Absolutely everything. Have you ever heard the term, you are what you eat? I've said this quite a few times when I'm preaching. What you feed yourself with is what you're going to become. You eat sugar, we get fat. We drink beer, we get a beer belly. Watch too much TV or play too many computer games, we end up in fantasy and not actually in reality. Watching pornography causes us to fantasize over other people that we should not. We watch horror and we watch the news and we often live out in fear. We allow ourselves to be hurt by people and we create this hard outer shell, making it hard for us to trust others. We put a high priority on working hard and we often regret not having time to do our hobbies or even spend time with the loved ones that we have around us. We might do the opposite. We might work less, but then we regret not earning enough money to do the things we want. Often our heart, it's pulled in multiple directions. It's torn by people hurting us, dreams that haven't come around yet, disappointments, pressures from ourselves and from other people. And often there's this level of unforgiveness in our heart as well. Our heart is such a real delicate instrument. And I want to ask you the question, where's your heart right now? And where do you want it to be? Where's your heart right now and where do you want it to be? What are you passionate about? And also, what makes you angry? What makes your blood boil? What excites you? I say these things because in my own heart, when assessing this for myself over the last 4 months, I felt that my heart is being pulled in multiple directions. There is so much going on in life that it can leave us a little bit disorientated as to where we're going. I've got a little bit of a PowerPoint. Could we show the slide there? Anybody know what that is? That's a heart. Probably doesn't look quite like a heart, but this is the heart we're going to use today. So we're going to divide this heart into four. And these aren't the only areas, but these are some of the things that affect us. So could we have the first one up? Can everybody see that? I don't know if that's a bit small. Okay. So the first thing says hard-hearted. You know, when something happens to us, sometimes we get a little bit hard-hearted. This week, I had a phone call from somebody who was complaining and whinging. And much to my own disgrace, let me put it like this. I'm a youth worker, I work with young people. I can't stand children that whinge and complain. So if your children come to the youth group and they whinge and complain, I'm really sorry, but they end up getting less of my attention, okay? And then when it comes from adults, it winds me up even more, okay? And I have, in my life, become more hard-hearted to people that whinge and complain. And so I get this hard outer shell. So as soon as it happens again, immediately, I shut that person down. And it's not always healthy. Robin will know this in church ministry. Emmanuel, you'll probably know this. Andrew, you'll know this. What they often teach is we almost need a hard outer shell, but a soft inner. We need to be able to protect ourselves from criticism and things like that. But sometimes having a soft heart is actually really good. It's really good to have a soft heart. When I was at first school, I remember my first years there, I used to cry a lot. and then I realized some of my friends just didn't cry at the things that I cried about. And so I was one day, I think I just woke up and I'm like, Josh, you just got to toughen up. You just got to suck it up a little bit. And I kind of created this hard outer shell. And I think a hard outer shell is sometimes really helpful and we do need it. But we also need to be careful that it's not too hard. It's not too hard at all. Okay, can we go on to the next one? Hurried. This happens a lot in this country. And I want to say, I think one of our biggest battles in this country at the moment is the fact that we're always hurried. We're hurried to do things. You'll know this if you work full time as well. You will be hurried by other people. You know, all of those emails that you get that you don't reply to. I have now got to a point where I'm sorry if I don't reply to your email straight away, but I have a set time in my day that I look at them because otherwise I'll be constantly replying to emails. Do you know, sometimes we can be hurried so much, and this is what I've really had to do with looking at this today, that I've not taken a step back and just seen what God is doing. Sometimes we're always on to the next thing. I have the same with the youth group or a program that we're running or trying to run this program because I think the program is going to be what's effective, and sometimes I miss the moment of when God is talking and I'm hurried along. The next thing that can sometimes pull our heart is harassed. Sometimes we're told by people that we should be doing something. Sometimes we're telling ourselves that we should be doing something. You know, I feel bad. I'm going to be open and honest with you now. I feel bad when I turn up to an event at church and I've realized that I've not organized something as well as I could have. But then when I look back at my week, I'm out most evenings. I'm working really, really hard. And I still feel harassed in my own heart that I haven't done the adequate enough. And so I'm pulled in yet another direction in my heart. And then the last one is hurt. Do you know, some of us in this room have been really hurt by people. We've been hurt by people in the church. We've been hurt by people at other churches. We've been hurt by people outside of the church. We might even have hurt because we've lost people that we've loved along the way. That is really hard, and it causes a lot of hurt. And so, and a natural reaction is we create this hard outer shell again. I'm not going to allow myself to be in this situation again. And I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to create this hard outer shell just to protect myself. I'm just going to share a little bit of a moment with you. I've done my bit of crying behind the drum kit beforehand, so hopefully it won't happen. One of the things that I've... I have to be careful the way I word this now. One of the things that I think I've found hard in my own life is that I've really tried to serve God. But sometimes the very thing I'm doing, I kind of forget God in that moment. I spoke to my cousin. She sent me a message last night, actually. She said, I was at a youth event, really big youth event, about 400 young people. And I sent her a little video of what was going on. And she sent me a message. She said, how come it is that you're always doing so much fun things all the time, and I'm sat here doing my homework and having to revise all the time. And she doesn't see the hard work that goes behind it. She asked me to say hello, so I'm going to say hello. She said a secret signal, but I'm just going to wave. So I think she thinks I'm some sort of like person to look up to or something because I'm on the stage and on the camera or something, but I don't know why. But I want to say something. It is difficult serving Jesus. It is hard, you know. Sometimes you see the stuff on the outside that other people are doing and you think, wow, that's amazing. I wish I had a life like them. I really wish I did. But I want to say, the more you serve Jesus, the higher the sacrifice it is. You know, for Luma, she doesn't always get my full attention because I'm serving in church quite a lot. She doesn't get as much attention as what she should, and I'm going to publicly apologize for that, Luma, okay? We'll get more time in Brazil when we go on holiday. It's going to happen this week. It's going to happen. No COVID. But, you know, the harder we work for Jesus, sometimes there's more things that are pulling our heart. It's pulling it in other directions. And I know there's people in this room that you've served loyally in church. You've served really hard. And there might have been a moment where you've been burnt. And it has been really, really tough for you. And maybe you've had to take a step back. Maybe you've had to create a hard outer shell in your own life to protect yourself. And I'm not saying serving church above your family, that is not the right priority. Your family is your priority. But what I want to say to you is this: do not shy away from what God has for you in your life. Do not shy away from it. Protect your heart and what flows into it, so that what flows out of it will be of God. There's this scripture. Oh, hang on. Can we have that that one up on the screen? Brilliant, thank you. So, quickly with the person next to you. There might be other areas, but what is the area in your heart that's pulling the most? Is it the you're just feeling hard-hearted, the hurried, the harassed, the hurt? 30 seconds. Which is your section that maybe you're finding tough at the moment? Okay, fabulous. Thank you. So there's ways that we can kind of combat this hurt, okay? And I'm just going to quickly run through these because it's just for you to have in the back of your mind. You know, when you're hard-hearted, one of the best things that we can do is worship. And I'm not just talking about a lifestyle of worship. I'm talking about when we physically sing out. There's something that softens your heart. I don't know if you've been in a moment where you've been worshiping and you start to cry and tears come down your eyes. It softens your heart. So if you're finding yourself really hard-hearted at the moment, let's worship God. Okay, next one, please, Kate. Thank you. If you're feeling hurried, put time in your diary for intentional stillness. There was somebody else that was speaking this week to me, and she said to me, she puts in a diary all the people that she's got to meet, but she also puts in a diary time with God. Okay, and that intentional stillness that slows us down is really, really important. And maybe that's something that you need to take away for yourself today. I know that's hard when you've got kids as well. I don't know it personally because I don't have kids, but I can see that it's hard. Try and find some time for intentional stillness with God. Harassed. You know, when we're harassed, we're feeling pressured to do stuff. Let's go the opposite way, and let's start to thank God for the things that we do have, the things that we have done. Let's celebrate our wins and the things that have already happened. And lastly, if we're hurt, let's try and forgive. Hardest thing to do is forgive. It's a difficult thing to do. If you need to forgive somebody today, I can tell you when you do it, it's the biggest release. Do you know, sometimes you can being unforgiveness towards somebody, and they don't even know, but it's eating you up inside. Trust me, forgiving people is an amazing thing. In Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, it says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, pray with prayer and petition, those times of quietness, those times of stillness, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And listen to this. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Solomon knew so much, but he had so much understanding But there's a peace that comes in that will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's go back to the story of Solomon. Solomon is with his sons and he passes on this message from his father. Before his father became king, there was a king called King Saul. Now, King Saul was put in place because people didn't have God at the top of their priority list. Okay? They wanted a king, and King Saul got put in place. He got appointed, and he should have been an amazing king. Okay? God had given him all the abilities, the abilities to be able to do what he needs to do. He said he was head and shoulders above the rest, but he often kept falling short, and he fell short so many times that Samuel comes to him in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13, and he says this, this is before even King David was meant to be coming to the throne, okay? I'm sorry if this is a bit hard to follow. Samuel didn't even know that God was going to appoint King David as king at this point, I don't think. And he said, Samuel says this to Saul, "You have done a foolish thing. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure." And he says this, "Instead, the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. For us, greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart." Saul had forgotten that. But David, King David, we know that he was a man after God's own heart. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, we see also David passing this message on to his son Solomon. And he says this, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father." What do we need to do? We need to serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and he understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. The sad thing about the story with Solomon is he had so much wisdom, but he struggled to apply it in his own life. There was something that slipped in the priority with Solomon, where God was at the priority, and somehow something seemed to creep in, and he started to struggle. Now, Solomon, we know he had many wives and concubines, and I think really he sold his heart to other women, and God was not at the top of the priority list. In 1 Kings 11, verse 4, it says this, "As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David, his father, had been." There was something that happened to Solomon over time, even though he had all the wisdom in the world, that God was not at the top of his priority list. And I want to say this to people, anybody here that is not married yet, make sure God is your priority above any relationship that you are going into, and make sure it's the same for the person of the relationship that you're going to with as well, okay? That God is at the top of the priority list. And for those of us that might be in relationships right now, I just want to say, make sure your heart is for God first, because it will enhance your relationship with the people around you. Does that make sense? So I'm coming into land at the moment. But I'm going to ask the question then, where's your heart? You know, sometimes we don't intentionally not let God be at the top of our priority list, but sometimes other things creep in. I want you to imagine that you're all Villa supporters in here. I know for some people that might be a bit of a struggle. You love playing football. I know some of us hate playing football, but just try to bear with me a second. Okay. You also love God, and you put God at the top of the priority list, but you love football. When you're invited by a friend to a football match and you go to that football match, and there's something in your heart that you know you love football, and in that moment, you forget about God. And football becomes the top of the priority list. It wasn't that you intentionally put God further down, but sometimes those things start to creep in over time. How do we combat that? How do we combat and make sure that God is always at the top of our priority list? I suggest that we need to have a relationship with him. We need to have relationship. It says in our Bible to take your cross up daily, to spend time with him, to be in relationship with him. And I want to encourage you, if you're not in a habit of doing that, let's do that, because over time, things creep in and standards start to slip. Where's your heart at the moment? Is there something that maybe we need to prioritize? So turn to the person next to you, and I'm going to ask you the question, does your heart mimic God's at the moment? Is your heart that of God's? Is it after God? Maybe you want to pick out one thing. Oh, this week I wasn't so good at that. But you can be as honest as you like. I'm not going to push you too hard, but turn to the person next to you and go, do you feel like your heart is mimicking God's? Is there something that I need to change, maybe? Okay, brilliant. I'm going to be going to Brazil on Wednesday. I am going to Brazil on Wednesday. That's the plan. And that time while I'm away, I usually use as a little bit of time to just reevaluate my life and readjust what I'm doing. And that's my prayer for you guys as well, that maybe that we'll have some time to reevaluate where our actual heart is. So we've got three kings we've mentioned today, King Saul, King David, and Solomon. Which was the king that didn't lose his kingdom? Does anybody know? King David. King David almost lost his kingdom. Now, if you were to compare everyone's story by today's standards, I would say King David was potentially the biggest screw-up of them all. Of the three kings, potentially, he made some real big cock-ups, like real big cock-ups. Some of us would have probably kicked him out of church by now. Okay? But yet he was the person that retained his throne. Why was that? Sorry? Because of his heart. You see, he was a man after God's own heart. There was this point where even when we screw up and we make mistakes, he repented. We see that time where he's torn his clothes. He repented. He felt so bad for what he did, and he tried to make that adjustment in his life. And you can see he even tried to pass that on to Solomon. Solomon's children, he passed on his kingdom to them and it disappeared. It disintegrated. He passed on that advice, but maybe they weren't able to apply it because, and maybe this is a good lesson for us as parents, if you're a parent out there, we can teach and tell our kids what to do, but unless we show them, unless we actually are able to apply it in our own lives, the example, just our words aren't good enough. We have to be a people of example and people that are actually going to carry this out. King Solomon had less physical battles to fight. King David had won so many battles, King Solomon didn't have to worry so much about the fights of the people around him or the nations around him. He had more wisdom given to him than anyone else, but his kingdom still disintegrated because he failed to apply that wisdom to his own life. Ultimately, his heart for God was no longer his actual priority. Got two scriptures I'm just going to share, and then I'm going to finish, and we can pray. And do you want to come up, Luma? In Matthew 6, verses 19 to 24, it says this. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Do you know I love doing work on my house? Absolutely love doing work on my house, but I'm not going to take it to heaven. I could spend hours on my house, but I'm not going to take it to heaven. And I wonder where your treasure is today. Do you know what? There are people out in that world, you can make a difference to their lives. You can absolutely transform their lives by the way that you live. Ash has already talked about possible volunteer opportunities. But what if it was that people on this stage never had to ask anybody to do anything? Maybe we were so all in tune with God that we were serving him with everything that we had. I want to ask, are you willing to lay down everything? It might pull your heart in different directions, and you need to keep reevaluating your heart, and the sacrifice may be high, but I'm going to ask you, is it worth it? Where is your treasure at the moment? What do you treasure the most? Because those will be the things that you do, and those will be the things that you spend your time in most. What are you most passionate about? Where is your heart, and does it belong to God? If it doesn't belong to God, I just want to urge you, God loves you. He's a forgiving God. He wants you to be like him. He made you. He knows absolutely everything about you. And trust me, serving God is sometimes hard, but it's also really enjoyable. You get to use your gifts, your talents. Chris, you're an amazing guitarist. I'm just going to reiterate this for you. I saw you yawning. Amazing talents, amazing gifts. You get to use it every Sunday morning. It's an absolute privilege. Never sit on the front row. Always get picked on. In Proverbs 3, verses 1 to 6, it says this. Wisdom bestows to well-being. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Anybody here need a little more peace? Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Solomon lent all on his own understanding. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Feel like the way that Jesus led his life was that he wanted us to live in this freedom. And if you're constantly struggling, maybe your heart is hardened towards people, maybe you're really anxious all the time. Maybe your heart feels pulled in a million directions. I want to just encourage you to spend time with him. Love the time that you have with him. Get excited when you're with him. If you're finding that you're not getting excited about your time with God, I want to challenge you to do it more until you do. And find God as your first love again. Some of us might have forgot our first love. I feel like across our whole nation over this COVID period that God has been getting people to reassess their lives, to retune, to refine who we are. I wonder if God came to our churches now, came down and said, would he be happy with the way that we live our lives? I hope so. But I can't help but feeling like we're sometimes missing something. We're sometimes missing something in our heart. And I think it's because we're pulled so much and sometimes we move away from him. And I just want to encourage you today, while we're playing our last song, I don't know if the rest of the worship band want to come up as well. Let's use this time to get closer to him. I encouraged you earlier to talk to people. Talk to people if you're struggling with it. If you're a journaler or a writer, write it down. Write what's on your heart. Maybe today when we're singing this last song, you just need to worship God and say, do you know what? I'm going to recommit my life to him and I'm going to give it back to him. And I need to recommit that priority. Maybe you need to sign up for the Alpha course because you're like, do you know what? I have no idea what this guy preaching is talking about. I need to understand some stuff. Alpha course is great for foundational stuff. It's also great if you've been a Christian for many years because you realize how much you've forgotten and there's cracks in your foundation. But let's lose this time to get closer to him. Can we do that? Should we all just stand? I'm going to ask if this is a message that is relevant to you, for you just to put your hands out. And just give your life back over to God. Imagine that you're offering your heart back on a plate to him. Maybe you need him to make your heart whole again. Maybe every time you go to an event or you're sat in church or you're speaking to people, you are crying. I feel like this might be relevant to somebody, that everywhere you go, you're just hurting, you're upset, and you struggle to be strong. I want to say that it's okay. It's okay to cry and to share those things with God. What is on your heart at the moment? Maybe you have a heart because it's hurting. Give that hurt over to God this morning. Should we do that together? Father God, where our heart is hard, Lord, soften it. Lord, where we're hurried or harassed, Lord, we give that back over to you. And we ask that you help us to put firm boundaries in our life so that we're living for you and we don't waver from left to right. Where people have hurt us, Lord Jesus, Lord, we forgive, we choose to forgive them as hard as it may be. Lord, when we're disappointed in ourselves, Father, Lord, we forgive ourselves, Lord Jesus, for when we've screwed up and for when we've made mistakes. Lord, right now I'm going to choose to recommit my life back to you and I'm going to give you everything that I've got. I'm going to follow you with everything that I've got. I'm going to run at 100 mile an hour with you because I want to see your kingdom come on this earth. I want to see people in loving relationship with you. Lord, I want to serve you all the rest of my days because you are my priority. I want to see your kingdom on this earth. In your wonderful and precious name. Amen.